Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John chapter 10 verses 22 to 30, and it's page 1077 in the Bibles.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him saying, "How long will you keep us all in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father am one." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Hello. You can hear me. That's the first hurdle over. I was saying to the folks this morning at the 8:30 that I bring this piece of paper as a sort of protection mechanism, in that at various points everything fails, and I just read the words, and if they're not appropriate, just forgive me. Yes, we're here because it's a special time for Papo Partners. It's obviously a special time for our family. And we just wanted to bring you up to date with all of that, as to why it's all happening, and also, very importantly, to bring you up to date with what's been happening in Sintani in terms of the whole flood crisis and everything there. The current situation with Papo Partners, where we are now, really began last year, when the SOSIS were here. And they were here for a holiday, but one of the other reasons they were here was to reflect and to think about and to plan, given the fact that they've been in Papua for 13 years, been walking and talking and helping and teaching various local organizations right across Papua, from Bokondini to Wamana to now Sintani. And it was felt that as a result of all that, we had a day, whole planning day, when we had a lot of input from a lot of people. And at the same time as all this, just before the SOSIS had come back, we had finally, after many years of trying, formed a local NGO that really is our representation, our representative in Papua. The NGO is called Ewatali, and I hope you hear more of them. They're a wonderful group of people, led by a wonderful lady called Esther. And they will be our presence, if you like, in Papua, because the decision made was that the Sosa family would come back from Papua and have a new role back in the UK, to move Papua Partners on to the next stage, and to grow the awareness of what's happening in Papua and of the Papuan people and of their needs on a global basis with other agencies around the world. So Naomi will be coming back in July, well, not just her, all the children more importantly, and Javi even more importantly. They'll all be coming back in July, and we are moving together with them to live in near the Mourne Mountains in County Down in Northern Ireland. Now, obviously Naomi's role will involve still some visits to Papua. She'll be still overseeing what's happening there. And she will be really the director of Papua Partners full-time, and to raise awareness with a much wider base, both from a funding perspective and an awareness perspective around the world. I was saying this morning that the congregation here know a fair bit about West Papua. It's a rare thing, probably, in the UK to know anything about West Papua, because it's a very closed place, and it's shut down from a military point of view, and there's no foreign journalist allowed in the country. So we want to spread awareness on a wider level and a level it's not possible for them to do if they're inside Papua with all the restraints they have to work under. So they're coming back in July. What's going to happen to Papua Partners after that? My good colleague Jackie is going to brief you on all of that in a little while. I'm really relieved about that because this morning I got to that point and I was beginning to run out of steam. So I'm delighted that she is here this morning to do that piece. But it's really important that I bring you up to date with what's happening in Sentani. Most of you, if not all of you, will be aware that on the 16th of March, in the middle of the night, without any warning, a huge flood and mudslide came down from the mountains behind Sentani and engulfed a whole section of Sentani. It affected about 14,000 people at various levels. A lot of communities were just disappeared completely. A lot of the congregations affected were the Giddy Church congregations, which Naomi and Yapalin, who she's working for and walking alongside at the moment, are working with. So it was a huge shock to everybody, and the rain and the slides and the mudslides continued for 4 days nonstop, and people were coming and people were finding bodies. And those of you who have been in the church on a couple of occasions and heard the communications from Naomi, their heart-rending stories of both people who escaped and people who didn't escape the flooding. As well as those stories, of course, there were inspiring stories. And one of the great things about our relationship with Yapalin, and the man who runs Yapalin is a man called David Selek. He's a wonderful guy. I met him all those years ago. He was a young guy working with Naomi in Yasamat at that time. And he's developed and grown. He's a really fine leader. And he, together with Naomi and Papua Partners, took on a response to this emergency. And as you know, we, Papua Partners, we did an online appeal to just for funds to help. We didn't know, I had no idea how much or how we would do that, but we put out an appeal. And effectively, the response to that appeal was amazing. It was instant, and it was absolutely extraordinary. We were able to have cash on hand in Papua just 2 days after the flood started, which, given what Naomi has said over and over again, it saved many, many lives just having those resources of water, food, medicine, and all that sort of thing that weren't available really in any of the centres. We were able to do that more or less immediately. And a total of just under £30,000 was raised in the first 2 weeks through that appeal alone. And I have to say that a big chunk of that came from around here. Even though it was a global appeal, Westcott again, through their loyalty and love for the work, again contributed massively to that. So the funds that we were able to raise, just those funds, and then Naomi, through her contacts with other agencies, were able to raise about the same again. We were able immediately to receive somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 people immediately into the centre. The numbers varied. We didn't know who was there one day to the next, but basically they were able to accommodate them at the Bible school. They were able to provide medical help. We made sure that they got to hospital, anyone who needed to. We were able to arrange burial of the dead. Even the church pastors had dead to bury of their own. And in the first week, actually, three women gave birth in the Bible school. So it was a very intense, amazing response, if you like, to an immediate situation. Other items that people hadn't thought of. Naomi told the story, the women had no bras, so we had to go out and buy bras or panties or whatever, water heaters for baby milk, machetes for the men to go back and work in their own gardens to try and provide some food. So all of that was provided really within the first 2 or 3 days. And if you think of the logistics of getting water for those number of people, food 3 times a day, all of those, David and Naomi and Javi and all, were working around the clock, essentially. The other alternative of those people would be to go to government centres. People ask me, where were the government in all of this? They did have centres. They don't have any more, they're closed now, but they did have centres. But literally they were just shelters and minimal food. And the government agencies there have very little respect for the local indigenous people. And it's not a nice place to go. So to have the church and Yapalin and Papa Partners there made a massive difference. So that was the first month. It was kept going through the first month. We're now in the sort of the second stage, where we're looking after two sets of families. One set of families, at about 300, we've moved them to different areas where they're closer to their communities, but they're all together. And there's one group for those people whose homes are completely gone. They have nothing. There's just literally mud flats where their homes were. And the other group is people who've lost everything, but their homes are repairable and can be fixed and cleaned. And obviously one of the major projects is to do that and galvanizing people to help them do that. There's obviously all sorts of ongoing problems, kids dropping out of school, parents have no income, because all their uniforms, school uniforms were washed away. And Papa Partners and Yapalin are working with women's groups to buy uniforms where we can, shoes and all that sort of thing, and getting kids back to school. So at this point, people are now in semi-permanent locations and starting to plan for the future. Obviously, getting income into those families, this is a large number of people who had income, who've now no income. And so one of the major things, and Javier's got involved with this particularly, where we've a whole series of little commercial activities. The Papuan women particularly, you've heard if you've come to this church regularly, the Papuan women are absolutely staggering in terms of their resourcefulness. And we now have groups making net bags for sale, flower pot holders, which they're exporting to Jakarta. They've set up small savings groups, and there's already about 300 women involved in that. And we're also helping some of the women with small business grants so they can buy veggies and petrol or whatever, make bread, anything that's going, they can turn around and earn some money. That means they can pay school fees and pay for each other's basic needs. So that work will be going on probably for another year, certainly with the people who have lost their homes completely. And that's an ongoing need. And Yapalin will be working with them, and they've been absolutely amazing. And I think Jackie will say one or two things about that later. Just in the longer term, the church has been getting alongside these people. You can imagine how traumatic these situations are. I was listening to a recording that Naomi made of this woman talking about what happened to her. And she just woke up in the middle of the night on the 16th, and she was underwater. It was black. And she just starts to pray, I'm ready to die. And then she realized she had a baby in her arms. And she managed to sort of get above the water, and someone found her and she was rescued. She was one of the ones that was rescued. But the trauma of that would obviously live with somebody like that. And the church is providing ongoing spiritual support for them. But what Naomi and Papa Partners and Yapalin are doing, we're arranging for outside trauma specialists to come in and work with those people in the long term so they can be healed and sort of start trauma groups in the church to keep on going. So keep praying for those people. That lady, she sent a message to us. She said, we're not asking you really for food because God supplies food. And we're so grateful for your prayers. But just pray for us that we can recover and that we can keep on going and keep on praying and keep on praising God. That's what they pray for. So I'm going to hand over to Jackie in just a second. But before I did that, I just wanted to obviously say something about us. So we're going to be in Northern Ireland, and we're moving on Thursday, would you believe? We've been here in this area since 1992, and for a bulk of that time we've been involved and in this church, and this has been our home for all that time. I mean, we've been really blessed, and we can say without question, Here we go. I'll be back in a minute. I can say without question that it's been the happiest and most fulfilling time of our lives. Thank you all.
I'm Jackie. I've been helping out with Papua Partners as a friend for a little over 3 years now, helping out with bits and pieces such as attending meetings, helping with newsletters, occasional social media posts, and updating the website of bits and pieces, along with Mike Thomas, who's been helping also, and Grant Smetham, who's also put together many presentations and fantastic promotional displays and organised the legendary quiz nights. And supported Papua Partners in many other ways over the years, which we'll be continuing to do so. As you've heard, the Sosa family will be moving to Ireland, moving from being permanently present in Papua to having an accompaniment role from a distance and through visits every few months to provide training and support. Our local Papuan-led partners own and are equipped to implement existing initiatives with remote support. Additionally, they will give Naomi the opportunity to advocate for Papua internationally in a way that's not been possible for while she's been living there. Naomi, as Peter said, will take the lead as executive director, and the setup in the UK will remain the same, with the board of trustees, of which Peter is a chairman, meeting regularly, and Grant, Mike, and I continuing as friends and representatives of Papua Partners here in Westcott. The response to the St Annie floods displayed by those on the ground in Papua has demonstrated the accumulation of all of Papua Partners' work in Papua over the last 12 years. Everything was in place to provide an effective response, built capacity to mobilise and provide help, international networks and the supporter base here in Westcott and around in the UK to help raise emergency funds. This really gives hope for the future and cements the foundations for the next stage of Papua Partners. So going forward, Papua Partners will continue to work with our three main partners in Papua, Yazamat, Yapalin, and Iwatali. When Naomi and Javier arrived in Papua in 2006, Yazamat had no permanent staff, no resources, and no clear idea of how to move forward to achieve their vision of appropriate development. 12 years later, in fact, 13 years later, Yazamat has a staff of over 30 and is recognised as a high-quality Indigenous organisation that works with integrity and has deep impact in many communities. Yazamat is headed up by Timo Mohi, who was one of the original people working at Yazamat and with whom Naomi has been working for over 10 years alongside a lady called Yapina, who's been heading up the health initiatives there during that time. Yapalin is the NGO of the Giddy Church and has played a key role in the flood response, as you've heard from Peter. Naomi has been incredibly impressed with how Yapalin has responded to the flood crisis. They've coordinated and managed everything. David Silak has been director there for 5 years and has just been appointed for a second term, ensuring continuity and strength going forward. Iwatali will be our partner for capacity building in Papua. Iwatali is the new NGO, as Peter said, developed with the help and support of Papua Partners and the talented leadership of local trustees. Esther Halluck is the director of Iwatali, and she was recently involved in leading the women's network in Papua for International Women's Day. Papua Partners will help Iwatali to find funding for new people to work alongside Esther and will channel funds through Iwatali to support them in running meetings and trainings for various programs already implemented. Papua Partners will be the central driving force and continue to work with these leaders as they continue to follow their vision for change and expand what they've started together. And they'll be supporting at least 5 other organisations in partnership with these 3 main ones. This is a real landmark opportunity to substantially broaden Papua Partners' influence, capacity and impact, both in Papua and internationally, moving from a solely field-based organisation to one that can represent Papua internationally and expand opportunities for partnerships and awareness, working hand in hand with Iwatali and our other partners in a way that has not been possible before. It's a real privilege to be involved with Papua Partners, and we're so looking forward to this exciting new phase. And Grant and I will continue to keep you, all the stalwart supporters of Papua Partner at Holy Trinity in Westcott, up to date with all the latest news, and we'll continue to run fundraising events and more. And thank you very much, Peter. It's been a pleasure to be involved.